talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And today is a very, very sad anniversary. The 59th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. I was a junior in high school at the time. I remember exactly, just like everybody, where I heard the news. I'm going to share a couple of things with you because a lot of people listening to this station didn't live back in the 1960s. Calvin, for instance, didn't live in the 1960s. Calvin is the producer, terrific, terrific producer. He's the guy that you'll talk to on the phone. But a lot of people were not alive in the 1960s. So let me tell you my impression. When I heard the news, I was really horrified. We had been at peace since the Second World War. It was incomprehensible that something like that would happen. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that evening we were watching television, and I remember very distinctly. Everybody today jokes about the grassy knoll. You know, the grassy knoll, as if that's some kind of a joke. Well, there was a grassy knoll. There were people sitting on it watching the parade, and I distinctly remember, if you look back, I don't know if they've archived the news that evening, but if you look back, the first thing that I remember the announcer saying was, people said the shots came from the grassy knoll. Everybody laughs at that now. It's true that the shot that killed Kennedy came from the book depository and fired by Lee Harvey Oswald. But I've never been convinced, and nobody in my generation, I think, is convinced that Oswald acted alone. Nobody. And if you look back, this baloney about how, well, it was Fidel Castro and the people in Cuba. The people in Cuba were opposed a lot more by Dwight Eisenhower and Richard Nixon than they were by John F. Kennedy. I think that's a lot of baloney. There were forces on the right back then, just as there are now, that were full of hate. There was one fellow who testified that he had planned to assassinate John F. Kennedy and had a rifle. And in those days, the presidents didn't have a lot of security the way they do now. They had some security, but not like they do now. And this guy went to a house where Kennedy and Jacqueline and the kids were. And this is just before he got sworn in. So he wasn't yet president and had a bead on him, could have shot him. But he said that he was overwhelmed when he saw Jackie and the kids and didn't do it. But if you take a look at newspapers in Dallas around that time, there was no social media, obviously, no computers that people had. But the talk was vitriolic about Kennedy. And it was not about the early stages of Vietnam, and it was not about Cuba. It was about civil rights and race. Remember, he was the one during the 1960 campaign that Dr. Martin Luther King had been thrown in jail in Georgia on a trumped-up charge, and the plan was to murder him in jail. John F. Kennedy, Democratic nominee, called the governor of Georgia, who was a Democrat, said, let him out. Let him free. We're not going to have him assassinated. And they set him free. In those days, most African Americans, believe it or not, voted Republican. And the reason they did was some had been converted by Franklin Roosevelt, but many of them remembered the Republican Party from 1865 to 1932 and beyond. And even Dwight Eisenhower had sent troops down to integrate a high school, and the Republican Party was generally seen as more civil rights oriented than the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party was full of segregationist senators. The Southerners were all Democrats. But Martin Luther King's father, after he said that John Kennedy had saved his son's life, said, I have a passel of votes for Mr. Kennedy. And that really helped John Kennedy win that election, because a lot of people advised him not to do it, not to make the call. He said it's the right thing to do, and he made the call. As it turned out, it was a smart thing to do, because he got a larger share of the black vote than some Democratic candidates had gotten before that. But in any event, the level of vitriol in Texas for John F. Kennedy at the time was catastrophic. And it was based on race. It was based on his standing up for Martin Luther King and his racial initiatives. And when Kennedy was shot, you're not going to believe this, how disgusting this is. There were people in Dallas who sold salt and pepper shakers of Kennedy and his brothers. Bobby hadn't been assassinated at that time, with holes in their heads where you shook the salt and the pepper out. They thought that was funny. Well, you see that level of hate now. Hate fuels the far right. Synagogue attacks, taunting and joking about Paul Pelosi being hit in the head with a hammer. That level of hate still exists. We must understand that. You must understand that. And it's got to be stood up to. And remember something else. Remember this. The Reverend Martin Luther King was assassinated in April of 1968. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June of 1968. That's three assassinations: John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, in less than 5 years, in 4.5 years. And there was a Vietnam War going on. Guys were getting drafted and going over there and getting killed. We'd lose 200 or 300 guys a week. A week. We lost more than 50,000 people in Vietnam. So if you think times are contentious now, believe me, in the 1960s, they were contentious. They were contentious. And yet we came out of it. We survived. Went into the 70s. Jimmy Carter was a very good and decent man. He didn't quite have the personality maybe to be president, but he was a good and decent man. Then you had the 80s and the 90s. We had Bill Clinton. And everybody calmed down. Now they're not calmed down again, but always remember. Hell, remember the Civil War. You think it's contentious now? How about 1861? 1861, the firing of Fort Sumter, 600,000 people killed in the Civil War. The 1960s was toxic for a lot of things, a lot of people, but we came out of it because we're a great nation. But never underestimate the amount of hate on the right, and never underestimate how it fuels the right, and it always will. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Quite a time. The Dallas Police Department at the time, too, Matt, I'm sure you know this, had Birch Society members on the police department. And the weirdest thing about that, I've read extensively, I was in third grade, and our third grade teacher was fresh out of college, and the janitor came and told us, or her, and she just totally lost it. But the fact that they moved Oswald, I don't believe either he was a soul. There's no way. But when they moved Oswald, too, that was just a very strange thing. I mean, they tell everybody they're going to move him, the time and everything. Something really, you know, I've read a lot about this period of time, and there's so many holes in the whole story. And obviously with him being shot, you know, that kind of, and then Jack Ruby, all of it, all of the stuff that went into that day is just, it's, you look back on it now, almost 60 years later, and it's really strange to have an older brother the same age as you. And, you know, obviously, that was just a strange night, as I remember it.
You know, you're raising some good points, and let me throw something out, because, again, this is not a conspiracy theory, but nobody I know in my generation thinks that he acted alone. And what Dick has said is right. So they announced they're going to move Oswald, and they announce it to the world, and Jack Ruby comes and shoots Oswald before he can testify, before he can tell who was in on it with him. And Jack Ruby had a fatal disease. And Jack Ruby said he did it out of love for John F. Kennedy. That's a lot of baloney. Guys like Ruby didn't love anybody. It reminds me of a scene in The Godfather where they use a guy who had a fatal disease, basically, to commit a murder that he knows he'll be caught for because he's going to die anyway. The other thing to keep in mind is the Warren Commission, the Warren Report. The Gerald Ford, now remember, Gerald Ford didn't become president until Spiro Agnew stepped down, and Nixon put him in as vice president, but before that, he was the Republican leader in the House. Gerald Ford took some steps to try to interfere with that report, and there were a couple of issues and facts that he tried to exclude from it. There was a tremendous effort on the right in those days to downplay it, say, well, it's because the Cubans didn't want them. That's a lot of baloney. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend, thanks for calling us your mind today, Andy.
Well, like you, Matt, I was in class in history in 1963 when they announced it over the PA up here in Beaver Dam that Kennedy had been shot. Everybody was just, like you said, horrified and totally bummed out and everything. And it was a sad thing because Kennedy, I was an idealist at that time. I thought, you know, going to Washington on the class trip to meet in later years.
Great. Andy, stay on the line. We got to go to a break, but I want to hear what you got to say. Okay. Calvin, please reconnect Andy right after the break. We're going to a break right now. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot after the break, and I will get back to the lines.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right back to the lines to Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andy, and give me some more word.
I just wanted to say that teenagers couldn't vote in those days until 72. So, I mean, I think I may be mistaken, but I think a lot of teenagers were, you know, they thought government, there wasn't any thought of it being crooked or anything prior to the Vietnam War and everything. And so the Kennedys represented a family, young people and everything else. And they were, once he got in the White House, he was, I think, for the most part, very popular, you know. And it's just, it's even to this right day, it's a crying shame. You know, who knows what would have happened in Vietnam had John not been shot. You know, I don't know, but it's just, I think too, don't you think maybe not the mafia had something to do with the execution or the work, the behind the scenes thing on that whole thing? I mean, you know, it's just, it was an absolute tragedy.
It was, yeah. You know, here's the deal on that. People that have tried to sweep it under the rug have said, well, first of all, it was Castro and the Cubans. Then secondly, it was the mafia and all that. I mean, the mafia had no reason to dislike John F. Kennedy worse than they would have disliked Nixon when he was vice president, or Eisenhower for that matter. And the mafia doesn't go around shooting presidents. I think that's been put out there, but I think that the reality is, if you take a look at the talk around Kennedy and his trip in Texas and in Dallas, it was vitriolic. It was absolutely vitriolic. And I think there are far-right forces in this country who have resorted to assassination in the past. You take a look at Dr. Martin Luther King, and here's a guy, this was not the mafia. It was not the mafia from Bobby Kennedy. I mean, the point of the matter is that now we have better security. Let me tell you something else. John Adams, our second president, used to go skinny dipping in the Potomac River. No kidding. He'd stick his clothes on a bush. You'd think the British would sneak up and kill him, but they didn't. This is after George Washington had not run again. And one day he comes out and somebody stole his clothes. He was buck naked. This is the president of the United States. And he has to walk up to the White House. That happened. I mean, if you take a look, Andrew Jackson, he throws this party and everybody comes with their farm animals and they're on the lawn. I mean, you could get to the president so easily. Look at Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is watching at Ford Theater, watching a play called Our American Cousin. And he has one Pinkerton there with him who fell asleep. He fell asleep. And the assassin Booth comes up and shoots him. I mean, we were very lax. I mean, we had several other assassinations. We had, McKinley, Garfield, and several others. We're going to the lines. Jesse of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jesse?
Hey, thanks for hosting this topic. Like all historical figures, the Kennedys that were controversial in their time and today, and I think he was aspirational and tried to speak to our better angels all the time. One thing I think, as far as trying to get to the bottom of this, who did it, another host on this very network, Tom Hardman, has put in yeoman's work as far as bringing in well-documented sources and well-cited background. And I would encourage any of your listeners who are interested in learning any more about who might have been responsible for the Kennedy assassination to look into what Tom Hardman has dug up and really pieced together about it. It does suggest that there's a real possibility that the mafia did have some involvement in it, although it's never that simple, but it's worth people looking into because they've really done the heavy lifting.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. That's very, very good work. But here's the deal. Let me be blunt. Nobody I know, not in my generation, thinks that Jack Ruby, who had a terminal disease, went in and shot Lee Harvey Oswald after they announced that he was going to be transferred because he loved John Kennedy. Okay? A hitman like Jack Ruby is hired. He doesn't do it for love. So who hired him? And what happened was that Oswald was shot, and he didn't have time to squeal on whoever was in on it with him. Now, who was in on it with him? I don't believe for a minute that organized crime picked John Kennedy, for Pete's sake. And John Kennedy was a close friend of Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra had mob ties, a lot of this. The point of the matter is, they don't go around assassinating presidents. The vitriol from the far right that was pervasive in Texas and for a lot of the South at the time, because Kennedy turned out not to be what they thought was a typical either segregationist Democrat or who would wink at him, but who actually took it to him. That's where I look. That's absolutely where I look. Anybody can hire a hitman to kill somebody. You don't have to be in the mafia to do that. The FBI has informants all the time. If they're in bars all over the place. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I need somebody killed. Usually it's an informant who then rats on him and he gets caught. That's not mafia. That's simply what goes on or what did go on. There's a lot less of it right now. But I'll tell you what. I'm not satisfied with the way this investigation went. And the problem is that as we get more remote, what are we going to do? Witnesses die. But never forget that the right is fueled by hate. Never forget that. And you can see it now in a lot of shootings, attacks on synagogues, elsewhere. And you got to stand up to them. You got to stand up to them all the time. Go to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to Arizona. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of sickness in the Republican Party, but it's hard to see anything sicker than Arizona. Let me give you a couple of examples of what's going on down in Arizona. Remember that Mark Kelly won. He beat Blake Masters, who is a very weird guy. I'm glad he's not in the Senate. And Hobbs beat Carrie Lake. And our Secretary of State candidate is ahead. And this is Arizona. This is Barry Goldwater territory. Republican Party down there doesn't like that very much. So let me give you three strange, weird things they're doing. Several Republican counties in Arizona, by Republican I mean counties that have overwhelming Republican votes, are refusing to certify their election results or delaying it in protests, and they're demanding a new election. And Carrie Lake is demanding a new election. They want a redo. Well, think about that. Think about the Super Bowl. Think about the NBA Finals, one of those games. Think about the Final Four. Think about the World Series. Very exciting. The league goes back and forth. Somebody wins. Coach on the other side goes, I want to do it again. Well, no way, Jose, you're not doing it again. But they want to do it again down there. One of them, Mojave County, M-O-H-A-V-E, 60% Republican by vote, said, we're not going to certify the election. You know what the state authorities have said? Fine, we just won't count your votes. So these idiot counties, which are Republican counties, are saying they're not going to put in their votes. Okay, don't put in your votes. The Democrats will get even more votes. This is as ridiculous as anything I have ever seen. But it doesn't end here. Sadly, there's a part of it that is more dangerous. There's a guy down there who's the Maricopa County supervisor. He's the board chairman. He's a Republican. And his name, believe it or not, is Bill Gates. No, not that Bill Gates. There's a different Bill Gates, but he's a good guy. He's sort of like a Kinzinger, a Liz Cheney type of guy. So he has pushed back against the so-called fake election claims that are being made, that somehow Carrie Lake won and all that. He's a vocal critic. Carrie Lake urged her supporters to attend a public hearing just on Wednesday. They abused him, Bill Gates. They abused everybody, yelled at him. A Republican National Committee attorney working with Carrie Lake threatened the top lawyer for the county. And these people would shout things like, you are the cancer that is tearing this nation apart. May the consequences of your actions be on your heads. I warn you and I caution you. But these people weren't arrested. Gates, as a result, has been transferred in hiding to an undisclosed location with a security detail. There have been months of escalating death threats against him. And Carrie Lake lost the election. And Blake Masters lost the election. This is what's happening down in Arizona. And you haven't heard a peep from Kevin McCarthy, Moscow Mitch, Trump, anybody running for president about it. There's a woman in Arizona named Liz Harris. She's a Republican state rep. She's another genius. Here's what she says. She refuses to do her job or vote on any bill unless there is a redo of the election. Okay, Liz, you're a real sharp cookie. You are. So you're not going to vote on anything. You're just going to strip them of a Republican vote, you idiot. This is what's going on down there. One of the lines. Tom, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Tom? Tom, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Tom, I'm not hearing anything other than heavy breathing, and you hung up, so I assume you have nothing to say. If you do have something to say, this show, anyway, is open to all opinions other than heavy breathing and hanging up. So if you got something to say, give a call back. But I want to get back to Arizona. Come on. I mean, the toxic thing about that are not Mojave County that won't report its votes and not this Liz Harris who's going to hold her breath until she gets the candy. I mean, come on. No one is bothered if you don't vote. You're elected to vote. You're Republican, but you don't want to vote, don't vote. But for Bill Gates to have to go into an undisclosed location with a security detail, I do not know if he has a family, but to have had months of death threats, and what, nobody's arrested? What, nobody down there has the technology to trace the call? And they don't put these people in jail? You're not going to find a lot of people. You remember Cassidy Hutchinson? She's in an undisclosed location. She testified before the January 6th commission. There are death threats, and they make enough death threats against poll workers and people of that nature. Not everybody has the kind of courage it takes to survive this. They've got to go to jail. Somebody's got to trace these calls. Get off the dime. We're going to the lines. Nathan, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Nathan?
Mr. Friend, excellent show as always. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I can maybe show a little light on the planet there.
You're a little bit garbled, Nathan. Are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
No.
Okay, well, if you can enunciate more, because I want to talk to you and I'm having trouble listening to you. Go ahead. Please say it again.
All right, so there's something that happened with the Kennedy thing, and the reason why Vietnam lasted so long was it was run different than World War II. Do you know what that difference is?
Yeah, in World War II, we wanted to win it. In Vietnam, we tied our guys' hands.
Yeah, because we privatized the operation of warfare, and ever since then, we've had longer and longer wars because we privatize it. And so why would Halliburton or General Dynamics or Raytheon want to have a short war when they can, you know, just melt the U.S. public out of every last cent they have? The thing with Kennedy, the reason why Kennedy got shot was he signed a National Security Amendment, 1963. It's called NSAM 63. That called for a complete withdrawal from Vietnam by Christmas, and the guys at the weapons manufacturers and all these guys that ran the war were like, hey, man, you're not going to cut us out of this boondoggle. And that's primarily the reason why he got offed, because they knew that they could keep the war going if it were privatized. And ever since then, it's been working like a charm.
You know, I've heard that theory, Nathan, and I'm not familiar with the order that he... That you reference, or that it was as clear as that. I think there is a general consensus. You know, Kennedy was a combat veteran of the Second World War. You know, Nixon actually had been in the war. Lyndon Johnson had more of a staff job. But guys that have been in combat don't lightly send other guys into combat. So the guy who is the king of combat was Dwight Eisenhower. And in 1954, the French were besieged at Dien Bien Phu in Vietnam, and they urged Ike to send the Americans in to save them. And he said, look, we've just come through a war. I know what war's like. No, we're not going to do that. We're not getting involved in that war. So Ike was a great, great general, great president, didn't get involved. And it was suspected Kennedy was the skipper of a PT boat. When I was in the Navy, we call them swift boats, but they're PT boats. And what they are is they're real fast speedboat type things, and they have a small crew, and you have a junior officer as the CO. And they're supposed to go in and out around bigger ships and shoot little torpedoes at them. Well, he was doing that around Japanese ships, and he got rammed and he got thrown in the water. And a bunch of his guys got thrown in the water, and he ordered them, yelled, to swim to an island that was nearby. It was about, it was quite a few miles, it was a couple of miles. Kennedy was a very fine swimmer. One of his guys was burned and was sinking. Kennedy, they all had life jackets on. Kennedy took the guy's, the rope from the guy's life jacket in his teeth, and he swam several miles and saved the guy and got him on the, got him onto the island, and then they were rescued. And then on his desk in the White House, he had a coconut shell. What he had done was he wrote his latitude and longitude on it and gave it to a native on this island who took it, somehow got it to the Americans, and that's how they were saved. Now, Kennedy was not about to get into another land war in Asia. It is axiomatic among admirals and generals, we don't get involved in a land war in Asia. Why is that? Because we have 340 million people in this country. India has 1.5 billion. China has 1.5 billion. You can't win a land war when the other side, the Asians, have that many people. Nathan's thesis, and I've heard it before, is that there were people who were basically hawks, who were profiteers, who knew that Kennedy, and I certainly believe, whether or not the executive order was as definitive as Nathan said, that as it escalated, like Eisenhower, he would have gotten us out. And Lyndon Johnson did not. And I believe that, but I personally believe, you want my belief? I was around at the time, although I was a junior in high school, I watched it on television. I saw the first reactions. I firmly believe that it was not Fidel Castro, that it was not the mafia. I mean, Jack Ruby was a hired hitman. I don't know, but who hired Jack Ruby to silence Lee Harvey Oswald? That is the question. And it may very well be that corporate profiteers profit from war. I believe it was a seething cauldron of hate in Texas, as well as some other states in the South, who hated the idea of a modern civil rights policy. That's what I firmly believe. But Nathan, I'm really glad you called in, and what, you have a lot of good things to say. We privatized the war in Iraq. We even paid companies to order pizzas for the soldiers in our bases here. Why can't they order their own pizzas and, you know, charge it to the government account? We had mercenaries go over there, black ops mercenaries. We should not do that. If we are not willing to institute a draft and have people in this country fight the war, we shouldn't be in that war. The people in this country, if necessary, will fight the Russians, they'll fight ISIS, and they'll fight people that want to attack us, jihad and all that. But to simply say, well, we are going to privatize the war and spend trillions of dollars to pay mercenaries is wrong. The Roman Empire did something like that, and they ultimately fell. The British have done things like that in Africa, and they no longer have an empire. If our people are not willing to go into the military, then it's not a war worth fighting. That's my opinion. In Vietnam, people were patriotic. I was patriotic. I went in the Navy. I was not ordered to Vietnam. Our ship was ordered elsewhere. You go where you're ordered, but my buddies all went in, and some of them got hurt. So there's no question that people profit off of war, but in my view, just so you know, I believe it was a cauldron of hate that was generated by Kennedy being a voice of the future and being pro-civil rights. And until that's somehow contradicted, I will stand by that. One piece of good news, one piece of very good news. Raphael Warnock now has surged a little in the polls. He's at 51% in Georgia. And Herschel Walker's at about 47%. Raphael came within a whisker of getting 50 and not needing a runoff like this. And if this keeps up, the election, I think, is December 6th. Raphael will get in. Good man, he'll stay in, I should say, and we'll have 51 votes. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Director, lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, if you had to name the most reprehensible member of Congress, who would it be? And there's quite a competition. You might say Marjorie Taylor Greene, you might say Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert or Boebert, any one of these characters. But my nominee right now is Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. Why do I call him Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan? He's an assistant wrestling coach. And their wrestler's being abused, and he is accused of knowing about it, not telling it anybody. The guy's bad news. I'll tell you a little bit of a tidbit of him. He was an NCAA champ in wrestling at 100, I think it was 39 pounds. It was in the 130s. He's an aggressive little bugger, looking at him. Guess who he wrestled for? Believe it or not, UW-Madison, even though he ended up in Ohio. Wrestled for UW-Madison. But he is a Trump acolyte, a Trump disciple. He was in the White House meeting right over the Christmas week about how to overturn the election. And here's the bad news. Now that the Republicans have the thinnest of majorities in the House, it looks like Kevin McCarthy will become the Speaker. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan will become the Chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He will be somebody in the House who will be a chairman of one of the most powerful committees. He will have the power to investigate people. He's already said he's going to investigate everything but the kitchen sink. Investigate Joe Biden, Merrick Garland. But the one that he announced yesterday kills me. He announced he's going to investigate Jack Smith, the special counsel who's been appointed by Garland to assess whether Donald Trump should be criminally prosecuted. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan is not going to investigate Trump's theft of the Mar-a-Lago documents. In fact, all the Republicans have said they're going to stop investigating that at all. They're going to investigate the special counsel, special prosecutor appointed by Merrick Garland. I want to unpack that. This is a very, very important issue. In my judgment, Merrick Garland is not a strong attorney general. I'm disappointed in Merrick Garland. I'll tell you why. He was appointed initially because he had some celebrity, some name recognition, because the Republicans torpedoed him for a year when Obama put him up the Supreme Court and tanked him. And then the minute Trump got in, what he did was they ran through Amy Comey Barrett in that spot. Remember? Amy Comey Barrett, rammed Amy Comey Barrett through in the lame duck, appointed by a president who lost the election and voted in by some senators, either lost elections or weren't running again. She's an illegitimate justice in my point of view. The six tarantulas are doing everything they can to dismantle our liberties. But nevertheless, Merrick Garland was a victim, and it was a mistake to make him attorney general because he's done very little that he could be prosecuting. And he throws the hot potato to a guy named Jack Smith and washes his hands of it, says it's because Trump said he's running for president. Trump had telegraphed that forever. Garland's been on this for over a year. Now they're going, oh, well, this new guy is going to have to reinvestigate. What? Reinvestigate what? Trump has the documents. We've seen pictures of him. He loaded him on a plane and tried to change him somewhere else after he got a subpoena. He doesn't deny he had him. This is going to drag on to the point where it's going to get closer to the 2024 election. It'll be politically impossible, especially if Trump gets the nomination, to prosecute him. Garland chickened out. Garland chickened out. But now this clown Jordan, the wrestling clown Jordan, is going to investigate the special prosecutor for what? Sticking up for Trump. Are Republicans going to swallow this? It looks like they are. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Well, one can only hope that that blows up in the GOP's face with Jordan because he's such a goofball. Hey, one last thing at the end of the day here. Do you think the GOP will be so petty as not to okay Tony's cabinet this time around and his appointees, because this is his second term here? Will it be that petty again, Matt? And then you've got the surplus on top of it. So with that, thanks for taking my call and have a great day.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I think they will be that petty. Remember, they didn't confirm any of his cabinet appointees. The only time in the history of Wisconsin. And then to retaliate against him, they held a confirmation hearing on Brad Paff and threw him out. And that's when he ran for the state Senate and won. And then he just ran for Congress and sadly lost. But no, they will do that. Here's even worse, Paul. You will swallow this. They will not even take up Evers' appointments to the DNR or to the Wisconsin Tech Board or other tech boards for another 4 years. They will effectively, because of a Wisconsin Supreme Court that said that until they confirm somebody, the other guy can stay on. They just bought 8 years. 8 years running the DNR and the tech board. 8 years. That's why we need to elect Judge Janet Protasiewicz, to the Supreme Court in the February and April election. February primary, April general election. Then it'll be 4-3 the other way. And in a heartbeat, they will reconsider that case and throw these clowns out. Why is it important for us to control the DNR? Because there's cancer in our water. You're in Dane County, you think you're such an environmentalist. There are a lot of lakes and streams over there. You fish, you can't fish in them, and if you do, you can eat one trout a month or something. There's cancer going in our water. Does anybody care about that? Forever chemicals? That's what you have when you have a Republican DNR. You have poison water. And to Paul's question, yeah, absolutely. They are going to sit there and simply not take up the confirmation of Evers' people for 4 more years. No, they won't confirm anything. In fact, they have a 2/3 majority. They're talking about recalling some people. They can recall Evers, believe it or not, and they can recall La Follette. This is commie government. We have been reduced to commie government. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Thanks for the callers. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Matt Flynn Direct, back tomorrow.